Income inequality is rising quickly in Asian American communities in the United States. That's according to numbers from the Pew Research Center released last week. Although the overall gap between the rich and the poor has risen steadily in the United States since the 1970s, this new study shows that the gap between the rich and the poor in Asian communities has surpassed the gap in African American and Latino communities. To understand more about these findings, I spoke with Chaya Chaum. She's the executive director of Mekong New York City, a community-based organization serving the Cambodian and Vietnamese communities here in New York City. And to explain the report itself, we're also joined by Rakesh Kocher, senior researcher at the Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C.
Generally speaking, the approach we take presents a more nuanced picture of the diversity in economic outcomes, both within groups and across groups in the United States. And one thing we learn is that no group is monolithic. So, for example, Asians are often pictured as the highest achieving group in America, but it is clear from our report that Asians, in fact, are the most economically divided or diverse group in America.
And can you give us some of the numbers? Like, so what does that mean for people when you say that Asian Americans are the most economically divided group?
So what we do is we compare the incomes of Asians at the top of the income ladder or near the top and compare them to the incomes near the bottom of the income ladder among Asians. And we find that ratio is almost 11 times. That means people at the top are making almost 11 times as much as Asian Americans at the bottom of the income ladder. And that's a much higher ratio than among whites, for example, which is closer to 8.
And so is this essentially breaking the myth of the quote-unquote model minority? Because often when we talk about wealth, and which is different from income, as we've said many times on the show, when we talk about wealth and we talk about race, there are often people who will say, well, look at Asian Americans, they do really well, right? But when you're talking about separating the data and disaggregating the data, we're finding that that's not always the case.
Right. So our focus is not on aggregate comparisons that are often based on mean or median incomes. Now, it is true that on average or at the median, Asian Americans earn more than other major racial or ethnic groups in the U.S. But when you break apart the data and look at people at all strata in the income distribution, we find that, in fact, lower income Asians lag behind some other groups. And it's not necessarily true that they're all high achieving.
And Chaya, I'm wondering, when you heard about the findings from Pew, were you surprised?
Absolutely not. It really reaffirms the experiences of a lot of Southeast Asians. And I speak particularly about Southeast Asians in the Bronx who were inserted into urban poverty in the 1980s, right after the Vietnam War, and inserted into essentially urban poverty and refugee poverty. And it really speaks to the existence and the narrative of the Southeast Asian community who's been invisible for so long, particularly in New York City, in the Bronx. But also, we are essentially the myth, the minority myth.
And where does that myth essentially come from? I mean, why do we focus so much on that narrative?
I think that the mainstream media does that. You know, I think this is, we live in a country who historically pits other communities together, framing Asians as the ideal minority and essentially saying that other people of color are less than, and that, you know, Asians are doing better and things like that. But what it does, it creates such a blanket, and it's such a state of invisibility for our community, you know. And yes, you know, without data aggregation, it doesn't talk about the needs of mental health services in a highly traumatized community such as the Cambodians throughout New York City, but throughout the nation. It doesn't give us resources, the kind of funding and the kind of programs that our community needs, particularly our elders. One of the things that is challenging for us as a community-based organization now is like the elders in our community, the Vietnamese and Cambodian elders, are, you know, no longer can afford living in their one-bedroom apartment because they live on public assistance and food stamps, and there's no other programs that can support them because their data doesn't even exist in New York City. So this report really confirms the experiences of many Southeast Asians, particularly living in New York City and the Bronx and other urban communities throughout the country, and makes it visible.
And what are some of the signs of inequality among Asian Americans in the Bronx, as you mentioned, and outside of the Bronx that you, do you see here in New York?
Southeast Asian have had one of the highest high school dropout rate, one of the lowest attainment in higher education, one of the highest mental health, PTSD, depression. So you have communities in struggles that are not being funded or supported by government institutions or even other institutions that provide resources, the kind of resources that allow folks to thrive and live in healthy communities.
What can policymakers do better? And this is a question for both of you, in terms of addressing not just the awareness that Asian Americans, some Asian American groups live in poverty, but also moving that those groups along so that they can get out of poverty.
One thing we learned from disaggregating inequality or income or any comparison, disaggregating it further across the entire strata of the income distribution, is that we learn more about the causes and consequences of inequality. I hope those are informative to the policymakers, but I don't have any prescriptions.
I agree. We're going to definitely use this to advocate, continue to advocate for resources and fundings from the city, from the state, from the federal government to support programs and community-based organizations to do the work of serving the people. But also, you know, we have a history of racism in this country that makes discrimination and this inequality huge. And I know that for us, when we fight for and advocate for Southeast Asian, we're also advocating for systemic change that challenges racism in this country that has historically kept communities poor in the ghettos. So these kinds of finding are tools that we can use to advocate and mobilize our community around to participate in civic engagement, community organizing, but more specifically to get more resources into the community-based organization that's doing the work to support and provide services for these communities.
Rakesh Kochhar is a senior researcher at the Pew Research Center, joining us from Washington, D.C., and Chaya Chaum is the director of the Mekong New York City community-based organization serving Cambodians and Vietnamese communities here in New York City. Thank you both for joining us today.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.